Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on one of my favorite Fridays, post-NFL schedule Friday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We got a good show today. Everybody from Dave Wonstadt, Peter Schrager, Joe Madden, baseball manager of the Angels, formerly of the Cubs. Michael Mulvihill is an executive in our country that'll break down the schedule. Really smart guy and what the league was thinking. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Last night was fun. I did a show with Carissa Thompson and Mark Schlereth and Jason McIntyre. It's so easy to do TV now. I'm doing it in a radio studio. I can do it in golf shorts last night. It is it's a fun day for us. I love today's show.
It is. You're getting spoiled, huh?
I am.
I'm not going to lie. I have secretly done the show a couple times this week in my Tommy John loungewear.
Yeah. Why not? It's the future of what we're dealing with. I read a story last night about how American business and how people are now going to work from home. I don't think it's a terrible thing, by the way. It will reduce traffic issues. It'll save people money in America, which will be a big thing going forward. But let's start NFL schedule. And I've said before, I'm never going to look at a good team and a tough schedule and go, they're done. Or a bad team and an easy schedule and go, oh, they'll be a playoff team. But I do every year look at the schedule and I modify and alter my win-loss total. That's why yesterday I gave out my NFL standings pre-schedule. And this morning there's four or five teams, one in particular. I'm going to add two wins to one team and subtract two from another team because I felt the schedules were that advantageous. So let me just start with two teams that I think got the raw end of the deal with the schedule. And I didn't love this team anyway, Cincinnati, but they got no breaks, no OTAs, young coach, rookie quarterback, forced to play, a dubious offensive line, and the Cincinnati Bengals have to face six of the top seven pass rushes with a rookie quarterback and a truncated camp. Chargers, Browns, at Cleveland, at Philadelphia, at Baltimore, at Indian Browns again. So of the six of the seven tough games, four are on the road at Cleveland, at Philly, at Baltimore, at Indy. That's gotten out to DeForest Buckner. Brutal. And then the end of the season, they face three teams that'll probably be vying for playoff spots. The Steelers, the Texans, and the Ravens. Little softer in the middle, but this is an overwhelming schedule. They got one give me early, Jacksonville. They didn't get Miami when they could use them. They didn't get the Giants or Washington. They buried those. The team will already be buried. This is a bad break for a team that's going to start a rookie quarterback, and we're dealing with a virus, and we don't know how much prep time he'll get. And, you know, it's funny about this because, you know, it's just tough division. Rookie's got to start. Brutal schedule. Young head coach. Brutal. Brutal. And you know, Bengal fans, I'm a hater. Because I had them at 5-11, Fox Bet has them favored in one game this year. So if it stays true to form, they're 1-15. I don't think they're that bad, but I literally looked at that schedule and I reduced the number of wins. I had Cincinnati at 5-11, got a ton of negative feedback on that. Like, I was delusional. They haven't won a playoff game since 91. The team they beat no longer exists, the Houston Oilers. So, to me, I would put them now at 3 or 4 wins. We'll talk about that top of next hour when I redo my standings. Here's another team. So you think, oh, I just hate Joe Burrow. Here's another team. I'm going to downgrade wins. Sam Darnold, I love him. New York Jets. Brutal. So here's a team that's rebuilding their offensive line through the draft and free agency. Look at the Jets' first 7 weeks. Bills defense, Niners pass rush, Colts pass rush, Denver, Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, Chargers pass rush, Buffalo again. Oh, they get a break then. They get to go to Kansas City. That is, to me, the toughest schedule in the NFL. It lightens up later. But for a team that is, they don't even know their tackles yet. a rookie left tackle, a second-year right tackle, maybe, a brand-new center. This is not the way the New York Jets needed the schedule to work out. So the Bengals, I'll reduce some wins. Jets, I may reduce them 2 wins. Top of the hour, I'll talk about you know, the new schedule. I've changed it up. We'll get to it in 45 minutes. Now, on the opposite end, these are teams I liked, and I don't know if it makes me think they'll win more, but it confirms the fears I had about my prediction. So, like, take San Francisco 49ers. Scheduling break. Now, I got them winning, you know, 11 games anyway. But Super Bowl losing teams, Joey and I, we've talked about this before, there can be a little bit of a hangover, especially like Atlanta, when you lose a Super Bowl that you should have won and you lose a lead and everybody questions your moxie and you come out the next year flat. That's what Atlanta did. San Francisco, I worry about that, but they got a scheduling break. So the first 3 teams they play are all rebuilding their offensive lines. Arizona, the Jets, and the Giants. With San Francisco's defensive front being the strength of the team, they even drafted another defensive lineman in the first round. That's a break. That is a break. That you could not play well and just simply overwhelm young, auditioning offensive lines. Then after that, they get 3 straight home games. Philly, Miami, Rams, all at home. So they get weaker teams, got to travel for a couple. The tougher games they get at home, rebuilding offensive lines, rebuilding teams, young head coaches, new staffs, young quarterbacks. I don't know if it makes me think San Francisco wins more games, but it reassures me on little concerns I had about San Francisco having a Super Bowl hangover. Here is a second team. Again, I have Cleveland winning 9 games and becoming a playoff team. I wanted to see the schedule to reaffirm, because I thought it could fall 2 different ways. I liked the way it fell for Cleveland. So at Baltimore, sucks as an opener. There's no getting around that. That is a tough opener. But after that, Cleveland gets the opposite of last year. They get an early scheduling break. Cincinnati, Washington at home, 2 rebuilding rosters. Cleveland's not a rebuilding roster. Then after that, for the next 6 or so weeks, they get really average defensive teams as they break in new tackles, a new coach and a new system, a new tight end. Dallas defense, Cincinnati defense, Raider defense, Texans defense, and then there's a bye in there. So unlike last year, where they went through a 5 or 6 week stretch early in the season last year, 5 out of 6 weeks where they faced like elite defensive coordinators, elite coaches, elite pass rushes. This schedule, they get to face a couple of rebuilding teams early and then softer defenses. You know, Dallas doesn't have an elite pass rush. Cincinnati's pretty good on the interior of the defensive line, but they had to go up, bring in new players defensively because they were lousy last year. Raiders can't stop anybody. Houston's got all sorts of secondary issues. So, again, I thought for Cleveland, it confirms what I believe a week ago, which is if the schedule falls right, Baker's going to tighten it up. This is a playoff team. So, Bengals, Jets, I'm subtracting wins. Niners, Browns, I don't necessarily think they get additional wins, but they got a scheduling break. It kind of falls in their favor. Because I do think with Cleveland, when you have a new coach, you come off a rough year, it's easy for people to bail. You know, you go 0-4 again this year, you're going to get, you know, OBJ, don't kid yourself. You can lose guys in the locker room fast. So I thought Cleveland and San Francisco got breaks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Tampa Bay, Tom Brady. I think they got a break. Whereas San Francisco and Cleveland got schedules that benefit them, I don't think it changes their record necessarily. I'm going to give Tampa 1 more win off their schedule. So the first thing I look at is, oh, they face the Saints in New Orleans. Ooh, but for some reason, nobody can explain it. The Saints aren't great in their home opener. 1-4 in the last 5 and could have lost their only win. Then it is a really interesting schedule break. They're learning a new offense. It could have been brutal. They could have had Aaron Rodgers week two, Patrick Mahomes, Sean McVay and Goff have worked together, Kirk Cousins. There was a lot of little landmines here where you could have faced quarterbacks who are efficient, who have been with the same coach for years, who have more firepower, but it didn't work out that way for Tom. Instead, after the Saints, they get Carolina. New coach, new system, new quarterback. Denver. They don't even know if their franchise quarterback is their franchise quarterback. Chargers, Tyrod Taylor, new quarterback. Chicago, hell, is it Trubisky or Nick Foles? They get Green Bay at home, but now Tom's got five starts in. Then they go to the Raiders and the Giants, two really weak defenses. This is a scheduling break. Now, I do think the Rams and the Chiefs in November are tough, but Tom's got half a season already in the books. Then so he's got no cold weather games here. That's a break. Because I think weaponry and perimeter stars are the strength of their team. No cold, blustery winter road games or home games, right? Secondly, I think he's got some tough quarterbacks to face here. But in the first 2 months, it is mostly Teddy Bridgewater, Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, Tyrod Taylor, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles. That, to me, is a scheduling break. They also get a scheduling break in Tampa late in the season. Hear me out on this. So at the end of the season, I have respect for Atlanta. They've burned me so many times, I'm worn out from them, as Joey and I often laugh. I always like Atlanta more, and every time I do, they burn me. And when I don't like them, whatever. They play Matt Ryan twice in the last 3 weeks. Here's why it's important. Matt Ryan's good. Dan Quinn could have gone either way, right? Could have been fired. Atlanta faces the Saints at the end of the year twice. November 22nd and December 6th. New Orleans is better than Atlanta. If the Saints beat Atlanta both those games, if you look at Atlanta's schedule, they're probably out of the playoffs. And Dan Quinn is a lame duck head coach. Tom gets them twice late. If Tampa's as good as I think, eyeing the playoffs and seeding, gaining momentum with Tom, Bruce Arians, and the young weapons, and Atlanta's done. They're cooked. Coach is done, lame duck. Out. It's a big break. Also, Matt Patricia is sandwiched in between. This is a bad team in a good division with Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago having better rosters. Better coaches, too. So I think they end. It's a break for them. Two Atlantas and a Detroit. I don't think those teams, they'll have lame duck coaches and out of the playoff picture. So I thought Tom got a scheduling break. He got some of the more average new offensive systems and quarterbacks early as he's just fundamentally trying to figure out the offense and figuring out Tampa and Bruce Arians and all the young guys. So a break there for Tampa. Enough of one. I think I'm going to give them a win. I'm giving them an extra win.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So the Dallas Cowboys schedule. I think it's tough early. I think it's tough middle. And I think it's tough late. And I've had the Dallas Cowboys at 8-8. That's what they are. Lost too many playmakers and productive people, offense and defense. At L.A. and at Seattle, Cleveland early, tough. Middle of the schedule, at Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, at Minnesota, tough. End of the schedule, at Baltimore, San Francisco, Philadelphia, tough. They don't get a lot of breaks. But here's the game on this schedule that really jumps out to me. Cleveland. So, you know, coaches, it's very hard to say Mike McCarthy and Dak are going to go to L.A. and Seattle and win. Those are tough games. McVay and Goff have been working together 3 years. Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll been working together 8 years. That's just tough. That's a big ask. I think Goff is better than Dak, and Matt Ryan week two is better than Dak, and I think Russell Wilson's way better than Dak. You're asking too much. My guess is they're 1-2. The Cleveland game is huge, and they get it at home. And the reason it's huge is because the only small window for the Dallas Cowboys is in October. Giants at home rebuilding, Arizona at home Monday Night Football rebuilding, and at Washington rebuilding. That's your scheduling break. You can make it a four-game winning streak if you beat Cleveland, and you're probably coming off a loss at Seattle. which will be a big 4 o'clock game on Fox. Seattle's going to crush Dallas or beat them. There's going to be a lot of negativity. It's going to be rally the troops, Cleveland at home. This is the season. And Goulet will tell you, as a Cowboy fan, when they lose on national TV, it's different. When you lose as a Cowboy on a late Fox game or a Sunday night football game, it just feels big. The world's ending. So Dallas is going to come into that home game against Cleveland, rallying the troops, save the season. It's the only part of Cleveland's schedule. It's a tough break for Cleveland. It is everything for Dallas. And so when I look at their schedule, I see them as an 8-8 team. It's not easy early. It's not easy in the middle. It's not easy late. That Cleveland game could be a season decider, a momentum shifter. So in that game right now, Fox Bet has Dallas favored by -4.5. That's where I looked at their schedule. I don't think they got any breaks. I don't think it's overly hard. It's sort of what I thought it would be.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So I think I said before, I think Tom Brady got a break in the schedule. I'm going to give him another win. I think Cincinnati and the Jets, I'm going to take away wins. And so I saved this team. Baltimore, I have as the, along with Seattle, that's my Super Bowl favorite teams. I didn't look at Baltimore's schedule close enough. So they face no teams coming off a bye. Big break when you have Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson hasn't had the success in the postseason. People get perhaps more time to prepare. They don't face a single team off a bye. They only make one trip to the West Coast. They're only leaving the East Coast once all season. Oh, wait, they have no West Coast trips. I didn't notice that the first time. They get a real scheduling break. Also, the Ravens open up. They get Cleveland at home. And it's a break because Cleveland's got a new staff. Cleveland's going to be really good. They're probably not going to be humming, you know, September 13th. So they get a break because I think Cleveland matches up really well with Baltimore. Not in week one. They also, one of the toughest games they have is at the Colts. It's one of their toughest road games. They get a bye before the game. They also don't face any team getting a bye before them. They also end the season with bad football teams out of the playoff race, Jags, Giants, Bengals. I thought it was a really, really good schedule. And because of that, I hand out my standing predictions. But now we've had coaching changes, free agency, draft, and schedule. So I am going to give you my official, barring any injuries in camp, my official NFL standings. Let's go AFC first. I'm taking two wins away from the Jets. Their schedule is brutal. I talked about it to start the show. So the Bills goes 9-7. Jets are 7-9. So are the Dolphins and so are the Patriots. It's mostly an average division with the Bills winning going away. Boring division. Ravens, I had winning the division anyway. I'm going to add a couple of wins to 10-6. I still have the Browns making the playoffs. Steelers not making the playoffs, and I'm taking a win away from the Bengals, 5-11 to 4-12. The Colts win the AFC South, nothing changes. Chiefs win the AFC West, nothing changes. I do have Denver making the playoffs at 10-6. Let's go to the NFC. Nothing changes. NFC East. Philadelphia's schedule still looks 10-6 to me. Dallas's schedule, you know, I watched before it was released. Not a lot of easy games for me. Dak's the inferior quarterback in at least half the schedule. NFC North, nothing changes for me. NFC South, Bucks still win it. Saints still win it. I'm giving Tampa Bay a win to 10. So the Saints and the Bucks tied at 10-6, but I think New Orleans gets the best of them head-to-head. NFC West, I thought about giving the Niners another win. A little Super Bowl hangover, but the schedule falls in their favor. I'll keep them at 11-5. So here are my AFC playoffs. Bills, Ravens, Colts, Chiefs. Nothing changes there except for a record for Baltimore AFC playoff title division winners. Wild card, Broncos, Browns, Titans. Nothing changes. I did think about giving the Titans one more win. The schedule was good for them, but I'll stay there. So the Titans are the new playoff team for me, not the Jets in the AFC. Jets out, Titans in. NFC playoffs remain the same. Eagles, Vikings, Saints, Seahawks win their division. Niners, Bucks, and Packers are wild card teams. So my big change is Jets out, Titans in, because the Jets schedule is ridiculous. And there you go. Can still change it, but probably won't, unless somebody, a superstar quarterback, gets hurt.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Social media is rough. And the way I attack social media is I just have fun. I don't take myself seriously. I kind of roll my eyes at it. But I do put some stuff out so it gets tweets and stuff, and my social media team likes it. But it's hard to have an opinion that goes against the grain. I mean, who wants to deal with that crap? Your phone blown up. And so people basically, and most people in life are followers anyway. So on Twitter, it's just followers. Very few people are willing to say, no, the opposite's true. Roger Goodell's a great commissioner. Twitter, you're wrong. You just keep following. He's no good, but he's more successful than you or anybody in your family or anybody you know. And he runs the NFL really, really well. And you can't say that on social media. Everybody loves Adam Silver. More woke. Nobody likes Roger Goodell. And I look at this schedule. It's just great. I mean, did you notice this? In week two, every team playing each other has a bye week, meaning they can move it. No division games in week three and four, meaning virus, they can move it. September's very malleable. Also, Super Bowl in Tampa. There's a two-week space before the Super Bowl, so they get a break there. They can move that around. Lots of flexibility. And the NFL's really well run. I don't think they get everything right. Anybody that criticizes Goodell for his missteps is somebody that's never had a big boy job. It's hard to lead. Canadians like everybody. They don't even like their prime minister. We didn't like Barack Obama once because he wore a beige suit. People just don't like leaders. Social media is vile and angry and anonymous. We don't like anybody. We don't like any of our commissioners. And I think all of our commissioners, I mean, they all went to like Ivy League schools. They're successful people. I like all of them. Adam Silver sometimes is a little too pro player, but that's the NBA. It's always kind of been the NBA. But I met all these commissioners. I met all of them. I like all of them. They're all smart. But Goodell gets just clobbered. Do you know how hard it is to run the NFL? You have regulated violence. You got the gambling hanging over it. It's absurdly popular. You've got network. You're on every network. You got every network executive and president and the Murdochs and this group and that group. And they're all asking big questions. And it's hard. And players make mistakes. And players are young. And there's domestic violence. And he kind of butchered it. And then the Kaepernick situation. These are hard. They're hard. Again, Canada likes everybody. They don't like their prime minister. But I looked at the Super Bowl this year. I think Joy and I agreed. It's one of the best 5 hours of TV I've seen in my life. It was
incredible.
Incredible. I mean, there wasn't a hiccup. I thought free agency this year, he got blowback, was terrific. I thought the draft, we work in television. Television's hard. At any one point, Joy and I could trip over a damn wire and knock us off the air. They went 4 days on that draft. On Zooms, and it was brilliant from basements. You got to see the families and the kids. It was so heartwarming. And I thought the schedule yesterday, they've got all sorts of little opportunities in early season to move it. You just got to, but nobody wants to say that about him. Nobody's saying he's perfect. No, there are presidents I loved. I loved Reagan, disagree with a lot. I loved Obama, disagree with a lot. But by and large, this league is so well run. And it's hard. And I'll tell you this. Here's an advantage for the NFL. States now, we've got unemployment rate of 15%. States need additional revenue because these budgets are all going to be deficits. States are going to pass gambling legislation fast. You thought pro sports gambling legalized by the Supreme Court was moving in the right direction. It's going to be overnight, you're going to see 30 states approve it. Why? They need additional revenue for their states. So good luck taking on the NFL when sports is legalized in 48 to 50 states in the next 6 months. They are all going to sign off on it for additional revenue for these states. They're going to be all behind it. And what sport do we bet? The NFL. But I looked at that schedule release yesterday. No league turns a combine, a draft, and schedules into must-watch television. And nobody wants to admit Roger Goodell's good. Perfect? No. Flawless? No. Made mistakes? Yes. But if Canadians don't like their prime minister, and they like everybody, it's an indication and an illustration of how hard it is to run a country, a business, or a league. I think Goodell's great. I've met him 2 times, had dinner with him, had drinks with him. He could not, he unlike a lot of powerful people, he's a listener. He just asks questions. He wants to know answers. What do you think? Why do you think that? He is just constantly curious about how to get better. And I watched this thing last night, and I looked at the schedule, and I'm like, man, bravo.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
One of my favorite guys. He used to own a restaurant in Naples called Handsome Harry's. Are you in Naples right now, Dave Vonstadt?
I am. Let me comment on your last statement there. I feel the same way. I'm a five inning at a Cubs game. That's about where I'm at, and then I got to move. I would watch 9 innings right now, and I'm done with Netflix. I'm turned to bourbon now. I'm drinking bourbon. Okay, I'm burnt out on the vodka, my red wine. We're done with that. So a buddy of mine brought me a bottle of bourbon. So I sit there and have a bourbon and a cigar and watch The Last Dance. That's where my mind is right now.
Yeah, Dave is talking about a conversation we had off air with Joy, and he could hear it, that I said, if the NBA doesn't go and baseball comes back, I will watch the Yankees, I'll watch the Dodgers, I will watch every single baseball game I can get my hands on. Dave Wonstadt joining us. So when you coached at Miami, and knowing the heat and humidity, did you think the schedule mattered, giving you an advantage or disadvantage?
Not as much for us because we had a practice in it. But I do think, and I know that it was a factor for opponents. If you were playing New England, up there late in December, that could be a disadvantage for us, an advantage for them. So the weather was a little bit of a factor with us. We used to talk about it all the time. I mean, and Joy could talk to Jason, when it was hot and we would practice at game times. I mean, we would go out there in the morning and have an 8 o'clock practice, and then we would come back around 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, right in the heat of it. And we would go out there and put the pads on and get after it. Just to kind of say, hey, and the players bought into it. Hey, this is game mentality, and it's going to be hot. So I think psychologically that it definitely played a big part. I don't know how much on the opponent's side, but definitely it helped us.
I also think if you have a rookie quarterback who's going to play like the Bengals, I looked at Cincinnati's schedule, Coach. Holy moly. Cincinnati played all these pass rushes in the first couple of months. Did you ever look at your personnel and think?
Well, yeah. You know what? I think you're hitting on something that's worth talking about, because I've done 2 or 3 of these primarily Bear shows here in the last week or two, and I really feel this: the teams that have new coaches, rookie head coaches, and rookie quarterbacks, they've always been a little bit behind because of the transition. But now, doing all this stuff through Zoom and virtual, you cannot get in there right now and work on the timing. I mean, if you got a defense is one thing, you can line up and turn them loose. But offensively, I think that's the position that's going to suffer a little bit, and primarily the timing of the quarterbacks and the receivers and the running backs and the audibles and the checks. You can't do that. You can talk about it. It sounds good. At a clinic, but the reality is you have to be on the field doing it and be coached. So now, and then I heard Matt Rhule the other day. I was talking to one of his assistant coaches, and he said the most difficult thing that Matt's having right now is you try to get in there and you try to set your own foundation or your own culture, whatever you want to call it, as a new head coach for the program, and now you're doing it Zoom. Think about it. So it's, I think it's a real advantage. If I was a veteran team right now and I've got everybody back and my staff back and my quarterback, boy, I'm feeling really good about starting this season.
By the way, the Baltimore Ravens, not like they needed any help, but they don't have a West Coast game. Last year, the Jets got really lucky. They didn't have much West Coast stuff. Do you think, meanwhile, Seattle always has to go East Coast? Those are 3,000-mile trips. Does the length Can that hurt you at all if you've got several trips as a Miami coach all the way west?
You know what? We never – yeah, if you're going from the west, like you talked about Seattle going to the east coast, I've never really experienced that. But being from Miami, I mean, it takes us an hour to fly out of the state of Florida, as you know, Colin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when we were playing the Raiders and when we played Seattle, we just had the – we never left early. We would go our normal day. We would fly out Saturday. We would get up. We'd be up early on Sunday, and we would go play the game. And we had a lot of success. We never thought that that was a factor. So, I don't think it's as big a deal. We never made an adjustment going out 2 days early. A lot of teams do. A lot of teams do, and they believe in it. But going back to our Dallas Cowboy days, and then I never did it at the Bears, and we never did it at the Dolphins. So going east to west, we never did anything. I can't speak for the other way.
NFL, no OTAs, potentially shortened training camps. How difficult would that be to deal with as a head coach?
Well, as I said earlier, defensively, it's not a problem. I mean, you can put your defense in, and guys can go out and run around garbage cans and get to the right spot, and you're going to be okay. But, boy, the receiver stuff, the offensive line, you know, trying to get those guys to work as a unit, and the communication between them and the quarterback, you know, it's going to be difficult. I'm not sure really if I'm a head coach, I think I would rather have an extra week or two of training camp practice and eliminate a game or two, you know, because sometimes you get into a game and boy, guys can lose confidence in a hurry. You know, you go in there with Joe Burrows and your line's not ready or the receivers don't know what to do and he looks terrible and so I think if depending when they give the go sign in the NFL, if something was going to give, I'd give up a preseason game or two just to have a week or two of practice to really get a good base and a good foundation established.
By the way, still very prominent in Chicago, do a lot of radio shows there. Ryan Pace did something most GMs don't like to do. He admitted Mitch Trubisky doesn't work, and they went and got Nick Foles. Are you surprised that a GM pretty early in his quarterback's career is signaling, I whiffed?
Well, I'm going to go back to our shows last year, our kickoff show, Colin. I'm still believing in Mitch. I believe that Mitch Trubisky wins the job. I think that Mitch Trubisky is the starting quarterback at the Bears. You know, it's going to be tough on Nick to come back. But look at Nick Foles. And I love Nick as much as a person as I do as a quarterback. But the guy's performance has been average the last 4 years. So now you're going to come into a new system. I just think that Mitch Trubisky is going to be the guy, and I think that this is good. I think they put a sense of urgency in him. We're not going to guarantee the $25 million. You know, you want it, you're going to have to earn it, and I think that he'll accept the challenge. I know I'm in a minority in Chicago. I do, you know, like you said, radio, and I do two TV shows, and I just think if you use Mitch Trubisky right and run the ball with that defense, I can get in the playoffs tomorrow. I really believe that. And keep in mind, I love what Ryan Pace did in the offseason. For any Bear people who are out there watching, I talk about this all the time, having a window to win. Well, everything that they did in the offseason is to win now. When you sign Jimmy Graham and you sign Robert Quinn, a deep pass rusher, and you sign Nick Foles, and you sign Danny Trevathan back at linebacker, these are all guys that are playing for one reason, to get a ring. And I love that mentality with that football team.
Dave Wannstedt, Fox Sports, NFL guy, college football guy, too. So I didn't get to talk to you about this. It's one thing for the Packers to draft a quarterback. But if they had drafted a wide receiver with their second pick, I think you could make the argument to Aaron is, listen, we're drafting a kid that we think has your talent in 4 years. But when they went quarterback, running back, never went and got a receiver, it looks like Green Bay's trying to make a statement. And I get Aaron Rodgers being potentially pissed. What did you make of Love being picked and no receiver in a deep receiver draft not being selected?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and I don't know much about Love. Obviously, he's a great talent. I'm not questioning that. But my first thought was, they better be careful that they don't end up being Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Because all last year, we talked about that the Patriots had, you know, they had the second most drops of any receiving group, and they were making mistakes, and they were a young group, and Tom didn't have the supporting cast. And obviously, Aaron's younger, and he's still got some more arm strength and things like that that Tom did. But still, you better be darn careful that, you know, your best player, I think you got to give him as much help as possible. I was disappointed. I truly was. I thought the Packers should have stepped up and really tried to help Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little college football. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh, I think you and I both like him more than the average person. He wrote this, open letter to college football. Wrote it to the college football community. And he talked about, you know what, we should let players go when they want to go to the NFL. And the cynical part of me thinks, yeah, of course he does, because they'll all be SEC players. So when he wrote this idea that players should be able to, make themselves draft eligible, and if they don't get picked, they can come back, and they should all be eligible the minute after their freshman year. What was your takeaway on that by Jim?
Yeah, I like half of it. I always agreed, because I had players at Pitt. You know, when I had Darrell Revis and LeSean McCoy, Deion Lewis, you know, some of these players I knew were going to be first or second round draft picks, I would tell them, go, get out of here right now. But if a guy was going to be, and I had players that were six, one kid never got drafted, and his agent had him convinced he was going to be a fourth rounder. It would have done him a lot of good to have the opportunity to come back to Pitt for another year. So I don't like the idea of leaving after your freshman year. But I do really like the idea, you know, that if a kid wants to change his mind, that he has that option to do it. Or if he gets drafted in a certain round, that maybe, you know, you don't want to waste a first-round pick on him, obviously, and then the kid decide to stay in school. But after a certain round that wouldn't be costly to your program, to your club, I like that idea of a guy going back in a draft.
Yeah. So what have you been doing the last couple months?
Well, you know what? I don't want to sound disrespectful to anybody, but Florida has been really progressive. I had my knee replaced a week after the Super Bowl, so that gave me something to do for the next week. At least I had rehab 3 days a week that I went to. And now I am, you know, the Florida here, the beaches are open, the restaurants are open. I'm playing golf once a week, sometimes twice. I'm biking, I'm swimming, so I'm pretty much back to normal in the city. Naples has been good. You know, down here, the people have been very, very aware and following all the social distance guidelines. And I think so far, so good. So I have no complaints.
Yeah. Love talking to you, Coach. Thanks for stopping by. You know I love you, and Naples, Florida is one of my favorite places. Good talking.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.